I'm excited for our special guest today. As I mentioned before, I think I've always been fascinated by penny stocks, and I've been wanting to do a show on this for, gosh, for months, if not years, and I've never found or come across the professional that I felt would really do a fantastic job explaining the topic and doing it justice. And I came across probably the world's most famous penny stock newsletter, which Peter Leeds points out on his website, and his credentials are just amazing. So, author of the book "Invest in Penny Stocks," right to the point. He has been a professional and a leader in the industry for over 12 years, providing over more than 32,000 subscriptions to a newsletter that's just packed with tips and strategies. He's frequently been contacted by top media organizations and been on shows like CNN, FN, and NBC and CBS and Fox. He's written for countless journals and newspapers and blogs and websites. We're just honored to have him here and excited about his new book and really want to give him a warm welcome. So, Peter, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. It is great to be here.
Well, I'm excited we got you. I know you're a very busy man, and we were lucky to catch you and have you on the show. But Peter, gosh, I don't know where to start. I'm so excited. I got to tell you, because my son, he entered a contest where he was in class learning how to trade stocks, and I gave him a few $100 to buy some penny stocks, and he still owns them. And he's even got them on a little app on his iPad tracking his stocks. But we love this topic. What made you interested in penny stocks?
Well, I started investing in penny stocks and just stocks in general when I was about 14 years old. I couldn't even get a brokerage account then because I was too young, so I would put money that I had earned into my mother's trading account. And I thought, you know, I'm going to try and make some more money. I'm going to make this money work for me. And I thought, what am I going to invest? I'll invest in stocks. And I started looking at, you know, IBM, et cetera. And you can buy 10 shares of this or 10 shares of that, and it might go up, if you're lucky, 12% in a year. Not really going to make much difference in my life. So I said, well, where is the money going to be made? I thought, you know what, I'll go towards penny stocks.
Well, the interesting thing about that point is that really, I mean, it doesn't matter what age you are, you can make money with penny stocks even with a small budget. I really, that's kind of got to be exciting as you talk about this with people. Anybody in any income bracket should be looking into this. Wouldn't you
Yeah,
agree?
I would agree, you know, if you do it properly. And I mean, to give you a little more detail about my story, when I started out, I put all my money into a single penny stock when I was 14 years old, and within 2 weeks, that money was all gone. It was the company got halted, it was taken off the exchange, and every single penny that I had saved up till that point was just wiped out within inside of 2 weeks. And that's actually one of the reasons why I kind of approach penny stocks the way I do. First of all, find the right penny stocks and know what you're investing in. And secondly, I try and help people avoid the same mistakes that I made when I started out.
Now, gosh, again, so many questions here. And oh, of course, we want to encourage our clients and listeners to look at your newsletter. I know you've got a free trial type scenario, which is fantastic. We'll talk more about that. But maybe, if I could ask some questions that I think are maybe myths in this area, is it expensive to trade stocks? Do I have to pay per trade, and it really eats up any profits I have? Is there a way to do it affordably?
Well, you're going to pay a commission fee to your broker. So when you buy a stock, you're going to pay maybe, you know, $20 or so. When you sell it, you're going to pay another $20 to sell it. So if you're, you know, investing $100, you're looking at making 40% just to break even. That's not very good logic, in my opinion. What you want to do is have a little bit more money to invest so that, you know, the commission rates aren't so huge. But what I suggest everyone does is to start in penny stocks by paper trading, meaning that you keep track of imaginary money on paper, and the end result is that you're not risking any money, and you're trading with a lot more imaginary money than you would be in real life. And so you know, your learning curve is a lot steeper, and you get up to speed quickly. When you're making money doing that, then I suggest you might want to consider getting into real money and trading penny stocks.
Well, can I start my own fantasy league then?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I've got my surfer fantasy league, and everybody's got their baseball fantasy league, right? But that's kind of the concept. I guess you could maybe even do you have a program sponsored on your website or with a website you like that has a good model for that?
Well, you know, people ask us, you know, what software do we use and what websites do we use? And I say, it's getting overcomplicated. What you need to do is what I did when I lost my money at 14 years old. I got paper. I pretended I had $100,000. I had a paper and a pen, and I kept track of, I would have bought this stock, I would have bought that stock, I would have sold this stock. And after a while, I started getting pretty good at it. And the end result, then I could translate that into real money. But I will mention that, you know, the way we do analysis on penny stocks, most of them are garbage. About 95% of the penny stocks we look at aren't good enough in terms of the quality of the company to meet our criteria. And that's kind of the key to our success. We're finding really high-quality companies that just happen to be trading at low prices because they're undervalued or undiscovered or overlooked. And you're actually, you know, it's not... When you think of penny stocks, you probably think of a lot more risk, and generally, yes, it's more risk, but you can still get involved in high-quality companies at very low prices that are just, you know, getting started, and they're about to trade at much higher prices if things keep working out.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Now, my mind's racing here, so I want to make a couple comments. Folks, if you have a question for Peter, you can email me directly, mark@markjkohler.com. Throw it up on the chat line if you're listening online right now at blogtalkradio.com. Or if you want to call in, for those that are already listening live, you can press number 1 on your phone, and Lisa will pick up, screen the call, and you can join us live here on the show and ask Peter a question. I'm just going to say this. I know it's true, so I don't want to throw you too much of a softball. But what's cool about this is you can trade your penny stocks inside your self-directed IRA. So this could be a tax-free proposition as well.
Yeah, I actually do that myself as well. You know, with the IRA, you know, it's tax-free, and as long as you're getting involved in stuff that is good, fundamentally solid, you know, companies, and you're not taking on too much risk for this money that is intended to be for your retirement.
Yeah, now that probably brings up the next question I wanted to ask. I'm a busy guy, and Peter, I know many of our clients they've got a lot of things going on. Most of our listeners are entrepreneurs, so that means they work around the clock and find time to sleep. How does one do you have to be an expert to do this? I mean, I don't want to start a new career reading the Wall Street Journal every day for a half an hour or 2 hours. How do I pull this off?
My experience has been that people who overcomplicate it or take it much too seriously don't generally do as well. We are investors, not traders. We're not talking about make 5% or 10% here or there by watching your computer screen all day. What we're talking about is, here's this company, and you know, this is how much money they have in the bank, here's how much money they're making, here's how much money we expect them to make, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Here's who the management team is, here's what their patent portfolio looks like. At the end of the day, we think this company is going to keep on making gains operationally, and at the end of the day, we think this stock is very undervalued now, and you know, 6 months from now, it should be trading dramatically higher. That's all we do. It sounds much more complicated than it is, but we have a pretty good track record of screening out the junk and trying to steer people towards good quality companies.
Well, and of course, this is where we get to, and I don't want to sound like too much of a cheerleader, but if you're going to do this, your newsletter at a couple hundred bucks a year is extremely affordable, because you're going to do a lot of that heavy lifting for us.
Right. We have a whole team here, and we're very, like you mentioned earlier, we're very busy. We take it very seriously. The benefit you know, of our team here, unlike just about every other person involved in the penny stock publication business, is that we are not taking any money from the companies that we talk about. We're completely, you know, telling you our honest opinion without getting paid kickbacks, bribes, or not being given shares. A lot of companies that you hear about for free, like a lot of these, you know, these junk pump and dumps that have been going around lately, where you're getting 10 emails a day trying to promote a certain company, they are getting paid by the companies to promote them. And I actually was very upset today. We got a phone call from a gentleman. He's 79 years old, and he was talking about how he'd taken money out of his Fidelity account and invested it with this latest S&PK pump and dump stock that's been going around. And, you know, we're basically, you know, telling them that it's a mistake. The company is garbage, and it's being promoted by you know, what I consider to be dishonest promoters trying to get the share price up because they're going to pump up the price and walk away and let it crash. And I've seen this over and over again. I think it's absolutely unethical, and I think that it's, you know, when you get a 79-year-old man calling up and talking about how he put money into it, you realize that he's going to lose that money and that it's a completely unfair situation, in my opinion.
Ah, it's terrible. Now, I want to just throw this out for many of our listeners too, Peter, so I can put this in context for everyone. Just in the last couple weeks, we've had a radio show on self-directing our IRAs, and any of you that are listeners and followers of me know, this is a chapter in my new book, is I love my clients to form an LLC, probably owned by an IRA or a 401k, where they can invest in real estate. But here's the point, folks. You can take your LLC checkbook that you've got that you're buying real estate with or tax liens in extra money that's maybe not being invested, waiting for the next real estate deal. This is a great way to create some extra income. Use the LLC bank account to invest in penny stocks while you're waiting for the next real estate deal. This is very, very doable. And so I think this is something that people should be doing more of. So, Peter, thanks for letting me interject that. I know that puts it in context for many of our listeners because self-directing an IRA is a really powerful strategy that can be used with penny stocks. You probably have a lot of clients doing that.
You know what? I probably do, but we have thousands and thousands of investors. Some are short-term, some are newer investors, some don't have very much money to invest, others are bigger investors, but we don't give, specialized financial advice person to person. What we do is we publish our financial opinions, and people can read that and then decide how to trade for themselves. So I don't get too much into the actual nitty-gritty of, the details of each individual.
Okay. All right. That's cool. Now, so here's one of my big questions then. So when you say 95% of these companies are garbage, my first question is, how does a company get a penny? I mean, how do they get to that level that they can be traded? And if they're such garbage, how is this happening? Where is this market created? And why are only 5% of them decent companies to begin with,
Yeah, well, that's an excellent question, Mark, and I actually should clarify that 95% of penny stocks, which is stocks trading at $5 or less, they don't make our cut. Our cut, our leads analysis cut, where we look at the management, the patents, the branding, the positioning, the financials, the fundamentals, everything. We look at everything, and about 5% of them, in our opinion, are good enough to pass that analysis where there's no warning signs. I mean, the bigger something is, the more energy it takes to move it. So when you're dealing with a penny stock, something smaller, one lawsuit, one lost client, that can completely derail the company. So what we do is we take a good look at the company and we see if there's any major warning signs or if we see that it's in an industry that we're bearish on or bullish on, and that helps us decide, and about 5% of the companies actually pass that analysis. Then what we do is we put those ones on a short list that we monitor over time, and then when we see each week we find, which company out of all of those looks to be the best opportunity for our investors or for our subscribers. That's the one that we will profile and talk about.
Well, okay, good. Now, when you recommend a company, how long should a person typically hold that stock? Is this something that is a 1 month, or I guess every company is a little different, or do you have a standard recommendation there?
Every company is a little different, but also every subscriber of ours is a little different. Like I said, we are investors, not day traders, but some of our subscribers are traders. They want to get 5-10% over a short period of time. Others want to, and what generally has been best over time is to buy into a company that is going in the right direction. And over time, with the quarterly results and the next quarter, 3 months later, if those results keep getting better and better, the end result is going to be that this stock price is going to go up over time. Our biggest wins have been stocks that our subscribers have held for years, not months. Although there's been plenty of opportunities for over, 3 months, 5 months, where they could make a good return. The biggest returns, I'm talking about stocks that went from, 80 cents to split adjusted $30 a share. That took years.
Okay. So I guess when you're doing your analysis, you may say this is a long-term hold recommendation, or let's see what happens. You'll give some thoughts on your hold period.
Well, we give our opinion for the short term and for the long term. So we say, you know, here's in our opinion where we think that investors might want to pick up some shares between this price and that price. And then we have a short-term target between this price and that price and a long-term target between these prices. And short-term is within the year. Long-term is more than a year.
Okay. So when it is time, you get off the paper and your Excel spreadsheet. Hopefully some people can graduate to an Excel spreadsheet to analyze their testing. When you're ready to go get that account open, do you recommend any particular broker dealer that I'm? An ING, or I mean, maybe I shouldn't say any name. You're probably very cautious not to recommend anyone, but I don't know. What do you do?
Yeah, well, we have a brokerage report where, you know, certain brokers are better for investors in penny stocks than for investors in blue chip stocks. Maybe just because they require lower minimum investment amounts, or they have lower commission fees, etc. So we have an opinion of 10 brokers that we've analyzed that we think would be good for penny stock investors. It's not to say that the other brokers aren't just as good, and it really depends on the individual investor. But, you know, we've been looking at a few, like, you know, E-Trade, Scottrade. It's all pretty straightforward, and there's not too much difference between them in terms of performance. It's more about what an individual investor needs for their own means, and that's sort of when they make the decision.
Okay. All right. Now, I got an email question from one of our clients. This is from Kimo over in Hawaii, and he asks, what industry are you liking right now, mining versus biotech versus internet? And he kind of goes on with some other technology, yada, yada. But what industry are you liking, do you care about that?
I thank you for the question, and it's interesting because my friends just got back from Hawaii, and they got here, and they said, we are going back, and they're trying to save up now to move there. They put them in touch with a lawyer today who does green cards. Like, they're on board. They want to go back to Hawaii. So I'm now I'm on the list. Like, I'm going to go there next because it sounds pretty darn good, and I saw the pictures, you know. Right now we're looking at I always like technology companies, and I like right now mining companies, ones that are producing companies, not exploration companies. I'm talking about companies that, if they're looking for gold, they have gold in the ground, and they're just bringing it up and selling it. Companies like that aren't forward hedged, that have ownership of their claims, they're going to do very well because we expect precious metals prices to increase. And right now, silver, gold, platinum, all these companies are being treated very badly by investors. They're, you know, this one company I published last week, they're trading at, I think it was $3, and they have $2.80 a share in cash. I might be getting the numbers wrong by a little bit, but they have almost as much cash as the share price of the stock by about 10, 15 cents. It's ridiculous that, you know, and another company, a silver miner, they are trading at 1x revenues, which is, you know, historically that's absolutely preposterous. But right now, for some reason, mining companies are actually taking quite a bath when it's unjustified, in my opinion.
Wow, very interesting. Now, back over to your book for a minute. Why, if you've got such, you know, I think this newsletter is pretty cool. My son already said my son's going to be a senior this coming year. And like I said, he's already been very, very interested in penny stocks. He said, Dad, you know, make sure you email me the link tonight so I can listen to the show. He was kind of excited about it. I know that we'll probably be investing in your newsletter. But why did you write a book? If you've got such a great newsletter, what's the theory with it? What's in the book that we wouldn't get in your newsletter?
Well, first of all, it all goes back to what I mentioned earlier, that I do wish that I'm basically teaching people what I had wished that I had known back when I was 14 years old, because I wasn't given that money. I worked hard for it and I saved it up, and to lose it in 2 weeks like that, you know, you lose a lot more than the money. You lose pride, you lose confidence, you know. I would like to give people a little bit more guidance. Like, I mean, this gentleman who called us today, he's 79 years old, and he's getting taken by some pump and dump penny stock garbage. I would like to help him ahead of time, rather than him, you know, call us up after the fact and he's already lost his money. But, you know, I've always been a writer, and part of the natural extension of what we've done and to help people understand better about, you know, what to do about things is, you know, with the book. A lot of people don't like the newsletter. They want to learn first, and so they buy the book.
Oh,
somebody
okay.
buys my book, I make about $2, you know. So
yeah, right.
I'm not doing it for the money, I'll tell you that. But right. it was actually Wiley & Sons actually approached me and said, do you want to write a book? I didn't go to them. They came to me. So I said, absolutely, and I put it together, and that's where we are.
No, that's cool. I was looking for some sexy, you know, penny stock revolution or, you know, some kind of sexy title, and I like it. It's just straightforward. Invest in penny stocks, period.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a little bit brash, too, because it is kind of going against what people have heard, you know, for so many years from so many, you know, professionals, so to speak, that they say, oh, don't buy penny stocks. It's, you'll lose your money. It's garbage. And I actually agree with that. I agree, you know, if people are going to invest in penny stocks, they probably will lose their money unless they do it properly. I mean, you can get involved with really high-quality companies that are just getting started. That's a lot different than, you know, chasing a lottery ticket, chasing a dream, which is what the majority of these penny stocks out there actually represent.
Okay. Now, I hate to bring it up, but I want to. I mean, these are some of these preconceived notions of my own as well. How does Jim Cramer and Mad Money mesh with what you're doing? I mean, are you guys, would you say you're one and the same? You're just focused on a different type of stock? Or does he even talk about penny stocks on his show?
You know what? I don't know. I've watched his show from time to time, but it's I believe that he's, in my opinion, more of an entertainer than an analyst. And that's all I'll say about that. I mean, this isn't about entertainment at all. This is about people protecting themselves first, secondly, getting involved with good, you know, small American companies while they grow and become bigger.
Well, I appreciate that. No problem. That was good. Well, he is entertaining. You know, punch this, throw a chicken, hit a, squeeze a horn. You know, it is kind of fun. You know, and it is hard to liven up stocks, dude. I'm telling you, Peter, as a CPA attorney, I feel like I have to dress up my topic. But
yeah.
I don't know who's got it worse sometimes, an insurance salesman, a stock trader, or a CPA. I mean, this is tough. How do you dress this up?
You need to get one of those big buy buttons. That'll keep everybody awake.
Yeah. That's good. Okay, now, you've got trading tactics in your new book, which I thought was kind of cool, little tactics that you like to use. Would you mind sharing maybe one or two of your cool, you know, like if you're going to trade penny stocks, you got to do this, you know, something that we can...
Sure. Well, I mean, the trading tactics we talk about, you know, averaging up instead of averaging down. You know, a lot of people will buy a stock, goes down in price, then they'll buy more of it to, you know, average down the average price. But they're actually just throwing good money after bad. I mean, maybe this company, you've got it wrong already, and it's going to keep on going lower. Generally, it's more effective to buy a stock because you think it's going to go up, and they start to have that happen. They start to go up in price because they're, you know, their operational results are great. And then what happens is that then it makes sense to buy more, even though it's at a higher price now. And we find that people who average up, in my opinion, do a lot better than people who average down. You know, another trading tactic is what I call trading windows, that, you know, especially for penny stocks, which are highly volatile companies, they actually have the majority of their price changes happen over about 15-20% of the time. So you've got a stock that could sit there flat for months at a time and then all of a sudden triple in price. And so what you want to do is try and time those trading windows so that you're getting into a company before it makes that move and you get out when the move is done, as opposed to sometimes holding it over the long term. You know, both strategies work to some degree if the company's going in the right direction, but it depends what kind of trader you are and if you're looking for shorter term gains or longer.
Very interesting. Now, I've got an email here from Teresa. She says, how do I avoid the scams when it comes to penny stocks when I'm relying on newsletters and websites? It's easier to maybe analyze a real estate deal versus some sort of stock. What's your take on that?
Well, I am so glad that, Teresa, that you asked that question, okay? Number one rule, do not follow any stock picks that you get for free. That's it, okay? Because anytime you get a stock pick for free from a free newsletter or any other, you know, on a free website, they are They have hidden motivations. They're getting paid either to mislead you about the company or to put the company in the best light. People are getting destroyed by these free stock picks. You got to stop following that stuff. I also suggest never trade in companies that are traded on the pink sheet markets. And you also need to put every company through a serious leads analysis review or your own due diligence review to make sure it's a quality, sound company. But the number one rule is do not follow any stock picks that you get for free.
What is this pink sheet thing you're talking about? You know, how do, and you know, let's maybe back up. I think a lot of people would want to, in fact, let me rephrase my question. I say I'm starting a new company and I want to raise capital. Do I go through a certain procedure to become a penny stock company? And is this where pink sheets come into play? How does that industry evolve?
There's a few ways to do it. You'd probably go through an investment banker who would set you up with getting listed. The idea, though, is that, you know, there's a lot of different markets, you know, and penny stocks are shares that trade at $5 or and under. So you've got the New York Stock Exchange. There's some penny stocks. There's the Amex, the NASDAQ. Then the NASDAQ has a subsidiary market, the OTCBB. That's the over-the-counter bulletin board. And each of these, in declining order, each one has lower listing requirements and costs and lower demands on, you know, investor visibility. And so as you go down the chain, you're getting involved with more companies that aren't of as high a quality. And when you get to pink sheets, which people think it's a stock market, technically it's not a stock market at all, these are companies that can be on the pink sheets, and there's not a lot of cost, not a lot of regulations, not a lot of investor visibility. So what happens is it becomes like a magnet for a lot of these pretty much, you know, more garbage companies. I'm not saying that about all of them, but the majority, I will say. And they get listed on pink sheets. And then, you know, pump and dump artists and promoters can get a hold of these thinly traded companies and make up lies about them, basically, or cast them in the best light. And then people think that, oh, I've done my due diligence because I read this report that says that they're going to do good and they have this and that and the other thing. And so they put money into this and they're going to wind up losing money. I mean, so and sometimes even if a pink sheet stock goes up in price, it's hard to sell because the market for it is so thin that there's not always a lot of buyers, even when there's a few sellers. So we just avoid the entire pink sheets area.
As I am reviewing your website too, you're talking about this 100% unbiased guarantee. Is that basically that a lot of investment bankers are given money to promote a stock to get it off the ground, but no one is paying you to do that. Is that what you were alluding to earlier?
Yeah, that's correct. And also, too, I myself and my team, we do not trade in the companies that we talk about in the newsletter. The reason being, we want to have absolutely zero conflict of interest because everybody else in this industry, especially when you get into the lower priced stocks, they are, you know, they'll buy a bunch of shares of a company and then talk the company up to people with some misleading statements, and then they're selling while these people are buying, and they're making money off of that. What we want to do is find good companies, and we have to make sure that there's absolutely no conflict of interest. That's why we don't get paid by the companies. In most cases, the companies that we research and analyze and profile don't even know that we're doing it. And sometimes when I need to speak to management, I will do it under a different name so that they don't turn around and say, oh, okay, Peter Leeds has been looking at the stock. Maybe I'll buy a bunch more before he puts out the report. We have to be very careful with that.
I see. Now, let's get to your newsletter here, and I appreciate your time you've spent with us. We'll wrap this up quickly here. I don't want to take advantage of your time. But let's talk about the newsletter. So tell us what that involves. It's not just a monthly newsletter. It sounds like it's quite a bit of interaction between your company and a subscriber.
Yeah, absolutely. It's take your time, Mark. It's I'm here to talk to you, so no problems there, no worries. The newsletter is it's a free trial, and you can when you take your free trial, you get our top stock pick each week, every Wednesday, and it comes with the buy and sell prices. But there's also daily updates Monday through Friday of all the stocks that we've picked in the past to talk about what's going on with them. We adjust our buy and sell targets. We've got a hot list of our top picks and prices, and we've got We have a quick fix, which comes out every 3 months. And the thing is, these are all stocks. These ones are stocks that are undervalued, undiscovered, and under a dollar. 10 stocks. And the thing is, we like to release those 10 stocks all at once because they're much smaller, more thinly traded companies, and I don't want the buying footprint to be moving the price. I want the price to go up because the company does well, not because, you know, 8,000 subscribers all go and buy the stock at the same time. So what we do is we'll release 10 at a time, and that disperses that buying footprint. There's a bunch of free reports, you know, about 50 of them telling you, you know, about free trading tactics, that sort of stuff, about how to trade. And I find that, you know, people seem to be learning pretty quickly if they join the newsletter, and they seem to be pretty happy with it, so I'm happy with that.
Now, is it pennystocks.com the best place to go, or is it peterleeds.com? What do you recommend?
It's all the same. It all goes to the same place. And if they want some free information, they can go to pennystocks.net or pennystocks.org, both of which also are owned by my company and have different, you know, penny stock learning materials.
Okay, cool. Now, and also they can get your book on your website, or do you recommend they go to Amazon, or what would you recommend where people should go?
They can go through my website if they, you know, they can also go through Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or to any Barnes & Noble store. Most of them are carrying the book still.
Okay. All right. Now, I got one last email question here I just wanted to throw out. This is from Eric. He said, how much money do I really need to get started investing in penny stocks? Is a few hundred dollars acceptable, or should I really start with several thousand?
Well, Eric, that is an awesome question, and I'll tell you that my answer is that you need $0 to start. You need a piece of paper and a pen, just like, you know, after I was dumb at first and I lost my money in 2 weeks, I started learning how to invest better and learning what to invest in, and I pretended I had $100,000 on paper. I kept track of my buys until I started seeing that I was going to be making a profit, and then I worried about how much actual money to put in. At that point, you know, a lot of my subscribers, they get started with a couple hundred bucks. Others get started with a few, 500, 1,000. We do have a lot of subscribers at both ends of the spectrum, and, you know, with penny stocks, that's the beauty of it. You can invest in something that's going to move pretty significantly in price, and it doesn't take a lot, and that's sort of why I've been attracted to this neck of the woods myself, actually.
Well, it sounds fun. When I think of penny stocks again, I just feel like I'm in high school or college again, and trading in a realm that I can play in. You know, it's like my own little world. Well, again, Peter, thank you so much for spending this time with us. You can certainly stay on the show here and listen in for another 5 minutes. I need to hit some travel deduction strategy questions that have arisen this week, and some clients asked that I cover it here in the show. But this has been just wonderful. I really appreciate you finding the time. I know I'm going to get more involved in penny stock trading with my son. I think this is a great family thing too. Not to pound your drum for you, but I guess you probably see a lot of families get involved with their children and something like this too.
Yeah, within reason. I mean, you don't want your children getting involved with technically risky investments at too young an age or anything, but it's very important to get them to learn about the stock market, I think, very early. And the best way to do that is stocks actually change in price and kind of keep their attention, especially in today's day and age where it's, you know, the short attention span Twitter generation. They need something that's going to move quickly, and that's going to be penny stocks.
I love it. That is so fun. I'm re-energized here with, again, another way to teach kids about money management and how the world goes around. So this is great. Well, Peter, thank you for your time. And folks, if you haven't already taken a note or two, it's Peter Leeds, L-E-E-D-S, peterleeds.com or pennystocks.com. Check out that free trial. I think his book would be a great start if you're thinking about investing in this area. And for all of you that are out there self-directing your IRA or 401k, this is a great way to use some of your self-directed LLC money, put it to use while you're waiting for your next real estate deal. So I think this is a great opportunity. So, Peter, thanks so much for being with us again. We really appreciate it.
Mark, it's been my pleasure. Anytime.
All right. Thank you. Well, folks, before we wrap up our show here in the next 4 minutes, I want to talk about travel write-offs. Now, this is huge for all of you that are entrepreneurs, which is 90% of our listeners. I have gotten several emails this last week from questions based on my auto show and travel show in the last month that I felt I was maybe a little misleading or not specific enough on a couple topics. So let me hit these, and I think this is very important for all of you entrepreneurs listening on the show. Just a final tip before you get off the show for today and get back to work. Number one, remember that traveling while shopping for real estate is not a write-off necessarily. So let me repeat this. If you're going to take a trip this summer and go, quote unquote, look at real estate in Hawaii or go look at real estate in grandma's neck of the woods in a little town in Duluth, Minnesota, fine. But it's only a write-off when you're shopping for real estate if you consummate a transaction at some point, preferably within a few months of your trip, and something that you looked at when you went, and preferably in the tax year you're trying to take the write-off. So if you're going to travel this summer to Duluth, Minnesota to look at duplexes down the street from grandma, then by the end of the year, make an offer on one of those properties. Meet with a realtor when you're out there. Then maybe go back a second time to close the deal. Now, as your CPA, we're more than anxious and excited to write off the entire trip. But you have both trips, potentially. Depending on how, if there's a lot of personal time in there, we're going to be cautious. But the point is, just shopping for real estate, I can't write off the trip at all. You got to buy something. Now, the second email I get from clients is, and I've gotten this in this last week, is, well, Mark, we were shopping for real estate, but we also had our corporate meeting. All right, fair enough. You can have a corporate meeting, remember, once a year, where I want your family, brother, sister, spouse, adult children, teenage children maybe even, nieces, nephews, grandchildren, whatever. Whoever you vacation with and they're old enough and responsible enough to make some comments on your business, take them on your annual family meeting. This is a corporate meeting of your board of advisors for your LLC or your board of directors for your corporation. I love it. Now, if you're out shopping for real estate during that meeting, even better. You're training and teaching your board of directors and getting their input. Now, I can't write off 10 days in Dallas, Texas, while shopping for real estate and doing your corporate meeting. It needs to be maybe a couple days at most, one day travel, one day meeting, one day travel back. So if you spend more days than that, we might trim down the travel expense. But it is true. You can take your corporate meeting anywhere you want once a year. Great write-off. That would be different than, again, traveling to shop for real estate. So I wanted to clarify those two issues. Very, very important that this summer, as you're planning your summer vacations, that you're thinking about meeting with clients, meeting with vendors, meeting with investors, looking at properties, looking at businesses, and then consummating them with a transaction. This summer, I've challenged all of you to make sure that you write off at least a portion of your summer vacation and include a business purpose. And I joke about it. It drives my wife crazy that I have to find a tax reason to have a family vacation. But what makes the world go around? It's taxes. Well, everybody, I hope that this show has been informative, a very unique show on, I think, a topic that all of us can use, especially with our self-directed IRAs, and that is investing in penny stocks. Thanks so much for joining me. Spread the word. Send out an email. Enjoy that new newsletter look. Let me know what you think. And I'll see you next Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific for another incredible Mark Kohler Show. Till then, keep living the dream. Woo!